Please stand and join me in the responsive call to worship. Sing songs of hope and peace.
God's love and power has visited us.
Sing songs of mercy and grace.
God's mercy and forgiveness reign in our lives.
Thanks be to God for all God's love and mercy.
Praise be to God.
Please join me for the prayer of confession. Lord, your grace and mercy are ever present in our lives. Your forgiveness is boundless, mercy when we fail in Christ-like ways. And yet, we are quick to carry a grudge, quick to find fault, quick to blame, quick to harden our hearts towards others. Set us apart, in God, to extend the model of grace shown us by offering the universe. Praying in the name of the one who died, so that we might fully live. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, each one of us has received healing mercies. We are now given opportunities to offer forgiveness and redemption to one another. May the peace of Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen.
And now would the children come forward and join me up here. Thank you. We've got a good group today. Good morning, everybody. My name's Katie, and I'm going to be your pastor here for the year. So I'm here to learn about Jesus with you and to worship God with you, but I'm still pretty new. So let's talk about new things today. Has anybody ever had a new little brother or sister? Yeah, are they here? Can you point to them? Yep, there they are. Okay. Hey. Has anybody ever had a new pet? Yeah, okay, what kind of pet? What kind? A cat. Okay, what kind? A dog? Anything besides a cat or a dog? Yeah, what? A hamster. All right, that's good. Okay, has anybody ever started at a brand new school? Yeah, I figured. Who started at a new school this year? Yeah, what school? Okay, and is this middle school? What about you? What school? Okay. Okay, so who's ever started at a brand new church? Nope. I did. I started at this church last week, and you know what that means? I get lost all the time. So I need you guys who have been here for a long time to help me out, okay? All right? That sounds good. Well, what other new things are starting this Sunday? Anything? What new thing are we going to go do right after this? No, everybody's going to stay in worship. Okay, what are we going to do? Go to Sunday school, right? And so to get ready for our brand new year, we're going to have all the Sunday school teachers and the youth group leaders come up right now and be commissioned for the year. So we need everybody to stay right up here, okay? So they can help them get ready. Does that sound all right? Okay, so let's go ahead and have the Sunday school teachers come up. Can Tammy and Sherry share with us?
Sure. Good morning. When I call the name of the Sunday school teachers, and we're going to include our youth advisors and youth Sunday school teachers as well, if you could come forward. Preschool, Beth Marconi, Rachel Molina, Jennifer Hassenlop, and Katie Oman. Kindergarten and first grades, Rebecca Jarvis, Abby and Lauren Jarvis, Sherry McFarlane. Alex Thornton. Second and third grades are Heather Pym, Jossie Pym, Tess McKeel. Fourth, fifth, and sixth grades, Anne Marie Sim, Allison Tuttle, Cam Mossgraber. For junior high youth, we have Todd Pym. Senior high youth, Mary Hadley. And our youth advisors collectively, we have Carol and Dave Balsley, Sharon Call, Joe Castrino, Keisha Binko, Beth Molina, and Katie Yassa also will be involved in our youth program. We are a community called together to be God's people. Together we can learn from one another. Together we have gifts to share. Teachers and advisors, you have accepted the responsibility of leading, teaching, advising, and nurturing the children and youth of this congregation. You have been asked to share your talents with them so that the word of God may be understood and the love of Christ be experienced by them.
Teachers and youth advisors, do you promise to prepare responsibly, to teach and advise with loving care, and to pray for children, youth advisors, and teachers with whom you are working? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Children and youth.
This is for all.
You are an important part of our church family. From you, we learn. and with you we discover the joy of journeying with God. Will you promise to come to Sunday school and to youth group, for all the youth out there, with an open heart and an open mind, so that together we may learn to live the way God wants us to live? If so, please say, I do.
Parents, do you promise to encourage your children and youth to live in the way of Christ through your conversation, your prayers, and by your example? If so, please say, I do. Members of the congregation, when children are baptized, we promise, and I quote, to tell the new disciple the good news of the gospel, to help him or her know all that Christ commands, and to strengthen his or her family ties with the household of God. Providing a solid Christian education program is one of the ways in which we have chosen to fulfill that promise. Will you also pray for the teaching, advising, and learning ministry of this church? For its committee members, for its teachers and advisors, for its youth and children? If so, please say, I will.
Do you, children, youth, and adults, promise to learn with and from each other as you grow in your faith? If so, please say, I do. Let us pray. God, you have brought us together in this community of faith. We rejoice that you promise to lead us, teach us, and love us. May we learn from each other and serve you faithfully in this world. Amen. You can go to your classes.
Buenos dias. Yeah, I don't know how to say it, but anyhow, my name is Tom Ward, and I'm called the benevolent dictator of the Guatemala Partners Group. Some may say the malevolent one, but I just want to bring some exciting news to you today. It was 20 years ago when the Reverend Bob Kaiser led 21 people from this congregation into a mission trip to Guatemala. So 20 years later, I'm here to share some very exciting news with you. Our Guatemala Partners Group has been awarded a grant through a collaboration with Gates Presbyterian Church, the First Presbyterian Church of Batavia, and the Garden's Edge in New Mexico. And it's a grant that's worth $10,000 a year for 3 to 5 years. And it's from the Presbytery. It's called a Triple Play Grant. And if you'd like a copy of the proposal, see me and I'll get you one. But just wanted to let you know that up until this point, we have been focused on a small village called Panacal in Guatemala. And it took a while, but they seem to be doing quite well now with the cattle and the pig projects that we helped them start up with. And in Panacal, we were working with about 36 families. With this grant and with the guidance of the Garden's Edge, we're going to be expanding that to be working with over 400 families in that region. We're in Rabinal, Panacal, and about 20 other small villages. The potential of this impact is huge, or as Billy Fusillo would say, it's huge, GPC, huge! So let me just quickly synopsize this grant. It has 3 points that we're going to be working on. One is going to be for food security for the people there. The children in Guatemala are most subject to malnutrition, and we are hoping to change that. Through workshops and training, we will educate families to recognize the symptoms at an early age. And through a new program, food program that we hope to start, we will use native-grown amaranth to make cereal bars and cookies, which are high in nutrition. And getting these products into the schools and the hospitals will go a long way to helping stop malnutrition. Number two, economic security. The Mayans are the majority of the people in their country, and yet they're the most disenfranchised. And so this grant will help them obtain some job security and sustainable incomes. We're going to establish a field worker position to assist the high school youth as they graduate to go back to their communities and start a small business, whether it be raising tilapia or cattle or something else, and also create jobs for other people in the village as well. This field worker will give advice and help these students get that going. And number three is educational security, so important down in Guatemala. Not too many Guatemalan youth get the opportunity to advance beyond the fourth or fifth grade. And through this program, we're going to be awarding scholarships that will take five students into college and beyond, we hope. And another aspect of this grant will be to bring three Mayans from this region to come here to New York State, to this area, to talk to our different churches, to meet with other organic farmers in this area, and so that they can share their experience and learn from ours. So this grant does not relieve us from our previous financial obligations, as Gates and Batavia will continue to support and supplement some of the commitments that were being made with this gift. We will continue to do some fundraisers as in the past, and we are looking at some new ones that may be more fun and entertaining and involve the whole church community, so stay tuned. And I want to stress that the Guatemala Partners is open to everyone who has any interest, and now would be an exciting time to join our ranks as we begin this new journey. We are also at the starting stages of planning our next trip for next year, and if you're interested in going with us, please see me or any member of the committee. You do not have to even go on a trip if you're not a GPC member or a member of Batavia, so if you have a friend that wants to come with us, they're more than welcome. So on behalf of the Guatemala Partners, we know that God has been leading us to this crossroads, but without the support of this congregation, through personal gifts or by supporting us through your fundraisers, or through our fundraisers, or by joining us on a trip, we would not have made it to this point. So thank you all very much.
So come, let us sing. We're going to sing together a response to our first scripture reading, which is Psalm 103. Chris is going to play the song once through for us to hear. And you can see there at the top in your bulletin, we're going to sing the response once through before I begin the reading. And at each where it is indicated, we will sing the song as our response. So let us sing of God's glory together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name.
The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life.
For the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life.
As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name.
Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. And the second scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Welcome. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over your opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord they stand or fall. They will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than the other, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then each of us will be accountable to God. Theodore Seuss Geisel, better known as his pseudonym, Dr. Seuss, was not an overtly religious man, though I can't help but wonder this morning in reading Paul's letter to the church in Rome if Dr. Seuss might have considered these words prior to his writing about the star belly sneeches. You see, the star belly sneeches are sneeches who had bellies with stars. The plain belly sneeches had none upon theirs. Those stars weren't too big. They were really so small. You might think such a thing wouldn't matter at all. But because they had stars, all the star belly sneeches would brag were the best kind of sneech on all the beaches. With their snoots in the air, they would sniff and they would snort. We'll have nothing to do with the plain belly sort. And whenever they met some, when they were out walking, they'd hike right on past them without even talking. When the star-belly children went out to play ball, could a plain-belly child join the game? No, not at all. You could only play if your bellies had stars, and the plain-belly children had none upon thars. These sneeches were born in the early 1960s, as Dr. Seuss's commentary on the absurdities of discrimination. For the early church in Rome, it was not what was upon the belly causing the contention, rather what was in it. Apparently, when the strong-belly Christians had Frankfurter roasts, or picnics or parties, or marshmallow toasts, they never invited the Christians with weak-belly faith, judging their veggie-eating and treating them as wraith. Obviously, in his letter to the church in Rome, Paul is far less whimsical. While most of us would hardly even give a second thought to being at a potluck and watching someone grab an extra scoop of the lentil quinoa salad, bypassing the Swedish meatballs, the question for the church in Rome is whether such persons would be welcome in that community. It was a matter of great theological dispute. And in this section of Romans, Paul addresses the community head on. But this is a unique address from Paul. He doesn't know the church in Rome. He's never been there, nor did he help found it in any way. This letter, in a sense, is his introduction of himself to them. And the whole letter is his way of sharing what it means to be a faithful Christian in Rome and the implications of doing that. And the implications, he emphasizes, has less to do with who is right and who is wrong, with specific practices, and more to do with faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Because, of course, the two different groups in question, the meat eaters and the vegetarians, both believe that they have God on their side. And the one group is following rules that they know so well from the traditional readings of Scripture, the dietary rules, the rules about Sabbath, rules about circumcision. And these folks are convinced that to be a follower of Jesus in the world in Rome, they need to do all the things from Jesus' religious tradition, which is Judaism. But then there's another group that believes that God is saying and doing this new thing. And they believe that those new things that God is saying can happen outside of the Jewish faith and tradition. And so the rules no longer apply. This group refuses to follow any of the dietary rules or to circumcise and gasp. They want to start worshiping together on the first day of the week, on the day of resurrection. In the midst of their arguing, of deciding who's right and who's wrong, who's in and who's out, they've lost sight of what their life together in the household of God is all about. For us, food may not be our primary divisive issue, but I'm sure we can come up with our own lists in our heads of what divides our communities today. Did you read the Sunday paper before you left for worship this morning? It's all in there. How to best educate our children, whether certain military actions and strikes are just, who should pay for health care, what is the definition of marriage? And so there's all this fighting to pass bills in Congress for one party or another to gain majority. What kind of authority do our leaders have? And we lose sight of what was important to begin with. Caring for children, peace, health, and love. And we know it happens in the life of the church, too. There are the bigger issues connected to what's going on in our world, in Israel, in Palestine, in Iraq. But there's also the smaller issues in the life of the community that tend to blow up to larger issues. So what should a person wear to church? How long should that church service be? How loud should the music be? How should we spend our money? Keeping things the way we've always done it or not? Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's in? And who's out? We hang on so tightly to what we know, what we think we know. We've let go of what God was calling us to do and be in the first place. And that's always a danger, isn't it? What may have begun as strongly held convictions and honest differences, efforts to be faithful, turn into debates that absolutize, polarize, demonize, and can turn into distractions that take away the focus from the greater goodness to which we belong, to whose service we are called, to whose purposes we are accountable. What the church in Rome has forgotten, Paul reminds them with one word. Welcome. All who are called by Christ are welcome. All whom God has welcomed, you are welcome. Are you weak in faith? You are welcome here. Are you lactose or gluten intolerant, vegetarian or omnivore? You are welcome. Those wearing shorts or flip-flops, you are welcome. Those with squirmy, boisterous little ones or restless leg syndrome older ones, you are welcome. Those who think they have all the answers and those who are pretty sure they have none, welcome. We are welcome because God first welcomed each and every one of us. And to each group, Paul does give the instructions that whatever you do, do it in honor of God. Those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. And those who abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. Whatever we do, we honor God in that doing. And Paul is working as hard as he can in this letter to see that in Rome there is a community of unconditional welcome. And his message is clear. It is God who first extends the welcome, and we who either confirm it or stand in its way. Here at Gates Presbyterian Church, on this great kickoff Sunday, I believe the welcoming community is already here. In our diversity of opinions, political perspectives, and theological beliefs, in our differences in age and race, sexual orientation, gender, and economic circumstance, whether we started out on this faith journey in the Jewish, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, or no faith tradition at all, God welcomes us here. As I often say from the communion table, whoever you are, however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness and hurts you bear, know the host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, the one who welcomes. We are here to give thanks to God and to share in God's unconditional welcome with all whom we meet. And so, may we continue to live by what Dr. Seuss and Paul asks us to hear. How God's purpose for us is abundantly clear. Sneetches are sneetches. Christians are Christians. And no kind of Christian or sneetch is the best at table, home, or beach. For God is God of us all, and welcoming is part of our call. Give thanks to the Lord. Grace is abundantly poured. So welcome one another. In Christ, we are all sister and brother. And forget about stars. And whether you have one or they have one or not, upon theirs. Thanks be to God.
We now come into the tide of sharing in the church. Sharing our joys and our worries and our concerns about our lives in our community. So please, is there something that you'd like to share, either a joy or a concern that weighs upon you today?
I'm going to be relocating from Chicago to Houston, Texas.
Wow. Okay.
As grandparents, they're going farther away. You can appreciate that. On Wednesday, Christy will be journeying to Chicago to join them for about a 3.5-day road trip. Where Sarah, Benjamin, and Julie and Christy will be on the road. So I just ask for prayers for their safety.
Prayers for their safety and strength of the journey.
Jack Beatty, I'd just like to share a joy. Linda and I are celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary this week.
Congratulations.
I'd like to ask for prayers for the Howell family. My mom was just diagnosed with double lung cancer this last week. And so my special prayers for my sisters, who will be their health providers. They're all nurses, thank God. So just here through this. But anyway, prayers for comfort for her and support for us. Thank you.
Andrea Onsen, I have prayers for my cousin Julie at the family reunion yesterday. She shared with me that she has a disease that's attacking her eyes. So she's got 2 years of treatment that's going to be coming up for her. And she's also going to be going through a divorce. So prayers for her, please. Thanks.
Prayers for Julie and her treatment.
Michael Bernola, prayers for Alex Turnquist, who's been diagnosed with brain cancer. He begins radiation and chemo this week. So prayers for a 100% recovery.
Thanks for Alex.
Well, I'd like everybody to welcome Iowa. Puppy number four. He's been with us about a month. So I would just like everybody to pray that he does a fabulous job learning. Not so good so far, but we'll blame it on his age. So thank you for having him part of the church.
Polly, what's his name?
Iowa.
Iowa. All right. Welcome, Iowa.
Okay.
Take that welcome here at GPC very seriously.
Anyone else? Then let us pray together. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for this time in our lives that we can come together, unite in our shared joys, and support each other through our worries and our grief. God, we are grateful that we have this time. Things are just so beautiful outside. That moment when your creation begins to slow and turn into all the colors of fall. We're grateful for this time together as the weather turns more crisp and our hearts grow more warm. As we reach out to each other in new beginnings, we ask you to bless all of the children who are beginning their Sunday school today and all of the youth who are beginning their youth group. We ask you to bless all of the people who are reaching out, beginning new jobs and new places. We're beginning new times with their families, new joys in their household. This is also a time of new beginnings which are less wonderful, God. So we ask that you be with people who have received terrifying new diagnoses, that you may strengthen them, care for their family, guide them to find all of the medical support and all of the love and the care that they truly need. And no matter how dark things get in the cold of winter, that you may always remind them that your love is shining upon each and every one of us. No matter how far we travel and how much we go through, that we are always a part of your beloved children's community. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The ushers will now come forward and collect our offerings.
Thank you.
Patient Lord, you amaze us each day with your ability to forgive our many sins. You display merciful acts, answer our prayers in profound ways. Help us to be stewards of your mercy and grace as those monetary gifts are transformed into active ministries. Multiply the span of these ministries to reach people in new ways. We pray in the name of one who teaches us true forgiveness, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We go with the mercies of God filling our hearts. We go. We go welcomed by a God to welcome one another with that love. Go. Go with the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit for each and every day. Alleluia. Amen.